Hello and welcome back once again to the Beechgrove Garden.
When you hit it again, that's it actually recording.
Old Man River, that old man.
About games. Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Game Wank. It's become a bit of a rare beast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you drawing a bum?
No.
Sitting doodling away in a wee pan. It looks like he's drawing a wee...
I'm trying to draw a really well, like, drawn penis.
Oh, that's the ridge of the bell end I was mistaking for an ass crack there. That's looking quite good.
Oh, cheers. So welcome to Game Wank.
Another episode
which happens, you know, only when the planets have aligned.
You're drawing a very long, thin penis there. Is that based on Danny Eccles' penis?
But anyway, yeah.
Fantastic likeness.
Yeah, so we're back doing an episode. We've got a new little recorder thing to try and make it easier, so hopefully we'll try and do it.
If it sounds shit, you can blame Richie for spending 150 quid.
I know.
This is going to sound so shit of us to make excuses like you get again, but I have to be honest with you, one of the it's very permed pubic hair you're drawing now. It's just fucking hell. Stop it! You keep distracting. There's like the balls aren't sitting together in that guy's scrotum that you're drawing. They're sort of apart. There's like a flap of flat scrot in between each ball. Is that what yours actually looks like
on a warm day?
Anyway, I think a lot of people won't be shocked to hear that a lot of the reason why we sort of now you've drawn a bead of semen emanating from the crown.
Sorry.
Put that away. I'm going to keep looking at it. Right, cheers.
It's clearly not working, is it? No. I was hoping to just draw away and then have a nice, amazing drawing of a penis at the end of it, but you just keep commenting on it.
Well, what to do, right? If you let me take that away with you, we'll just make that the banner on the website. When this post goes up, that'll be fine. So we've got a new recording setup that's a bit more portable and a bit more wieldy, as opposed to having to lug a mixer around. And the setup that we now have runs on 2 AA's as well. So perhaps we'll record a podcast on the bank of the Thames next month.
The bank of the Thames. Yeah. Perrin's Landing outside his house.
You can record me doing a pee off Perrin's Landing.
So that's our, you know, every time we do an episode, we have to make little excuses and things like that. And that's, you know,
yeah,
that's
so fucking apologetic.
Our sort of segment, that segment is now over. We should make a jingle for it.
There are a couple of lazy cunts, you see, here is an apology.
That's the jingle.
There we go. Let's just play that every time.
All right.
That's the housekeeping aspect of this podcast completely, isn't it? It's just like, fucking sorry for being dicks and having, you know, other things to do.
Imagine like having lives and that.
Yeah, I know, totally. But I got a lot to talk about. As Gamescom is like currently happening still, isn't it?
Well, yeah, as we record, there's been some various...
You'd think being game podcasters, we'd be more...
be all over that shit, but yeah, we've got a couple of things to
talk about. Well, it's quite funny today because I was talking to Richie earlier about what we were going to talk about, and he was like, do you want to talk about Gamescom? And I genuinely had to go, what is that happening? Really? Fuck. That's why Eurogamer has been going nuts today.
Right. I was on the train this morning.
Eurogamer do that thing as well where they have one news story, but they split it into six. So, like, there's 20 new articles, but they all refer to the same four events.
Yeah.
I can tell Eurogamer have recently interviewed David Braben because there's, like, 50 David Braben quotes that have been turned into fucking news stories. Frontier Productions has no toilet in the office. Elite Four's no coming out anytime soon. That's another article they'll spin out of it. It's like,
every time you mention Elite Four, I think of Elite Force.
All right, okay.
I was going to mix up.
That's not that funny.
I do, though.
How about just fuck off?
I'm just like, why? Because you've said that a few times before, and in the past I've been like, why is he wanting a new Elite Force game?
He doesn't even like Voyager. Weirdly, actually, I fucking love Elite Force, despite hating Voyager. This is why I much preferred the second one, even though it was a worse game, but it took the character you played in the first one and put you on the Enterprise-E with Picard. But, you know, why are we talking about that?
I'm sorry, that was entirely my fault.
They drag everything. It fucking all comes down to Star Trek with you.
It's better than you all coming down to penis.
Are you trying to argue that Star Trek is better than penis?
I know what I'd rather sit and watch on Sunday afternoon.
Let's ask the ladies. Let's go on Twitter now. Actually, I'm going to post that. Dear ladies.
See what they say.
Could you please settle an argument?
Star Trek or dick? That's going to be a no-brainer, really.
Well, I want to make you look stupid.
So you tell me you'd rather have like someone slap me in the face with a penis rather than
I'd rather be slapped in the face with a penis than watch fucking Voyager.
Oh, that's true.
So even if it was your penis and I'd end up with fucking severe hemorrhaging.
So far we've covered all the bases. Voyager hate. Knobs.
We have to do this, otherwise people would stop listening.
Yeah.
Do you prefer Star Trek or penis? I can't wait for Crystal's reaction to this. She'd be like, how can I not have both at the same time?
At the same time. I remember having a conversation with a workmate. This is years ago, like, I used to work in a cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
And a workmate turned to me one day and says, you ever wanked over Star Trek? And I was like, no. He was like, no, right, think about this for a second. Have you ever just been sitting in your bed watching Star Trek and thought, I'm just going to have a cheeky wee one. Knock a cheeky wee one out.
I've had a wank to Star Trek. I've told you this. You've told me that before and I've told you the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's during the episode, first episode of season 4, Deep Space Nine.
You ruined it for me. Let's not ruin it for everyone
The Way
else.
Of the Warrior, every when they're time. In the holodeck and it's like, it's Dax and Kira and I'm like, fucking hell. I also told you about that time when I was sitting having a wank. Well, lying down having a wank. I don't sit and do it.
What? Do you lie on your back?
Yeah, fucking right I do. I like to get comfy, you know. I've got a framed like stock photo of William Shatner.
Oh, yeah.
It's from the 60s, publicity photograph. And I'm sitting having a wank one night and... Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I didn't have any porn or anything, so I was just kind of looking around, and my eyes were just wandering around and looking at random stuff, and at the point of release,
yeah,
my eyes were locked on William Shatner's face, and that's the point where I shot my beans. I was like, oh, fuck, that's hard. There's something wrong about that. But
there's something very wrong.
He was a handsome man, though, back in the day.
I can't help but think that he would approve.
He looks like my granny now.
So, shall we move on to the actual programme?
Would you like to touch my willy?
I'd like to think that most of what we just talked about is going to get cut out.
Yeah, totally.
Gem.
For the record, that penis he was drawing earlier, he's written NCC-1701 up the shaft. Along with the same go faster stripe that the original Enterprise had.
It was like the
along the secondary hull.
It's more like the eye. I was more thinking of like one of the shuttlecrafts, like the Galileo
Right, okay. That works too. Like the Galileo. I'm gonna name a shuttlecraft now.
Just gotta show my knowledge.
But you don't know how to talk to women.
This is true.
You've lived with one for like 5 years or something.
I don't know how to talk to her still.
I'm the same. I've been married for 8 years and I just look at her going, what do you want?
What do you want from me?
Fuck off. Fuck off. I'm trying to watch Star Trek.
It took you 3 or 4 years to realise that the conclusion to every argument shouldn't be you getting your dick out.
I'm just sitting there going, is that not what you're after? Like, no, bills needn't paid, but my dick's out.
You've not done the dishes.
You've not done the dishes. Aye, but I've got a stoner.
Because you've been shouting at me.
That's me got a stoner now.
Run a bath.
What do you mean, what?
I don't know. I don't know why I said that.
What's your game, dickhead? Your game's looking like a glaikit stupid cunt with the glasses.
I know. I keep catching myself. The worst thing as well is they keep sliding
down
my nose.
You've got a pair of half cockers. They're like the old NHS frames, but slightly more stylish. Suits you. If you were Sue Perkins.
Fuck off.
They make you look like Sue Perkins.
Sue Perkins does have sideburns.
Sue Perkins doesn't have sideburns or a dick, Clay. You fuck off. Right, so what have you been playing then, you fucking daft cunt?
What, since we last recorded a podcast?
Yeah.
Let's go through the list. No, let's not.
Quite a lot.
It's not. I guess the most recent thing I've been playing is that.
You've watched Wrath of Khan about six times.
Six times since. I watched it last week, actually. The most recent thing I've been playing is Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which is part of the Summer of Arcade.
And crucially, it's cheap.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Xbox Summer of Arcade.
I've not even played the demo of that yet, but I've heard... apparently, I was reading that the people who are making it, it was conceived as some sort of cartoon first. Like, they came up with the art style before it was a game. Mm. The idea existed as something sort of amorphous and not quite concrete before it became this idea to turn it into a game.
And, yeah.
It's sort of like a Metroidvania type setup, isn't it? Or...
Kind of, yeah. It has that thing going on where it's just one massive... it's all taking place on one planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is levels. I mean, you get to the end of one area and then you move on to the next one and you move on. But the fact that it's all seamless...
Do they all form one large map?
Yeah. The thing that drew me to the game in the first place was the art style.
Yeah.
In many ways, it reminds me of, like, Samurai Jack, but it's very dark as well and twisted, obviously, as the title suggests. But
insane.
The second thing is that it did slightly remind me of Solar Jetman. As I started to play the game, like, I got started to get more and more out of it, and each area has its own kind of distinct style, and it's enough to kind of keep you interested as you're going. And you obviously pick up new devices and new abilities throughout the game that obviously unlocks the different areas. You know how the Metroidvania system works.
Yeah, totally.
And it's just full of these, like, interesting puzzles, and the bosses are really nicely designed.
Yeah.
And it's so atmospheric, and it's so quiet and isolated. There's no, like, dialogue or anything. Like, everything's kind of conveyed through the sound design and the... Well, everything you see on screen.
Is there any, like, text and subtitles or anything like that? Is it all just...
It's all... Like, even
visual
the,
and...
All of the instructions are images rather than text.
I love when games do stuff like that. I like that approach when they're telling a story but without using any sort of traditional narrative device. Purely because I admire it, how fucking difficult that must be.
Mm, no, absolutely.
To convey anything complicated, you know?
Yeah, the other cool thing is that you tell the story of what's happened to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
The planet itself has been infected with a kind of parasite, which has made the... Twisted Shadow Planet, and has made all the beasties and the. But through collectibles, you get little animated shorts, which all eventually become
an episode of Thundercats.
An episode of Thundercats. No, it sort of tells the story of what happened to the planet. It's a really nice way of telling a story, and it moves along really nicely. And it's one of those games as well that if you sit up at, like, in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. or something playing it, it's really quite effective because the music in the game is it's not melodic. It's atmospheric kind of sounds.
I thought you were going to say, it's not melodic, it's more shite.
The music's pish. No, the music. The music's just atmospheric noises, but it's very good. It's very good, and I would definitely recommend it. It's 1,200 points. Some of arcade stuff in the last few years have been
fucking phenomenal. I mean, you've got Shadow Complex and Explosion Man was one, wasn't it?
Limbo.
Originally Limbo, yeah. Because it has, obviously this is what it's designed to do, but it has really made the summer lull of game releases not just bearable, but actually something to look forward to. Because you get a breather from having to choose, like, a 50 quid game a month.
It's also that thing, like, the smaller ones, the arcade ones, are the ones where they can do something really weird and interesting.
There's more ideas in them.
The dead ain't got to worry about this mess. Our world, she's done. But there's a way to put her back together.
We both tried the demo for... Bastion, didn't we?
I didn't.
I didn't
get around to it.
I'll be interested to see how it keeps it up and stops it from getting irritating throughout the game, but I'm quite enjoying the narrator.
You get narration for pretty much every significant thing you do in the game.
Yeah.
Because I like that. I mean, imagine if they did that in Oblivion.
Yeah.
Jim has just picked up a cup.
It's literally like that. I mean, if you fall off the edge, you know, he says something like, you know, at that point he fell off the edge, but he was okay or somebody. It, obviously, I'm shite at it. I'm like a...
So you fall off the edge and the guy's like, oh, you're dafty.
Yeah, I mean, he literally says like
when you
find...
The narrator was just like shouting encouragement at you. Go on, son. Go out in the middle of a battle and you die. And he's like, you fucking dick.
But it, like, it
oh,
helps.
Oh, yeah, daddy.
Sorry. Sorry. It helps as well that the guy's got a really cool voice and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
it,
really nice.
Is it Ron Perlman?
No, it's not Ron Perlman.
Nah, shite then.
It could be Ron Perlman,
Perley,
but it's not.
Does he sound a bit like Pearly Ron?
He could have a Ron Perlman thing going on. See, now that I'm trying to think of it in my head, it's just turning into Ron.
Because I'm pretty sure I saw a trailer and I thought, I knew it wasn't, but I thought, okay, that guy, he's got a bit of a Pearly Ron sort of quality to him.
I didn't think of that, but see, now that I'm trying to think of it, all I can think of was Ron Perlman.
I want to see a BBC 4 drama about Pearly Kings with Pearly Ron in the title role.
Why?
So I want to see Pearly Ron as a Pearly King. Trying to put on a Cockney accent.
All right.
Getting his dick it.
So you have been playing From Dust.
Are you not going to talk about Solar Jetman, though? No?
Fuck off. I haven't been playing Solar Jetman. He's put Solar Jetman on the agenda. I've not been playing it.
You always play Solar Jetman. It's the only game you can play.
My NES is in my mum's house.
Aye, well, you know what your mum's house today?
I was.
Aye,
but...
there we fucking go. QED, motherfucker.
Yeah. From Dust's main selling point is that it's Eric Chahi.
Yeah. By the guy who made Another World, which I think anyone who's old enough to remember it will, you know, remember it as something of a milestone anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a Delphine Software game, wasn't it?
And yeah, that's right.
That Flashback kind of came out in a sort of similar style. And I think those two are sort of credited with being very early cinematic games, but cinematic in a way where, you know, it was a cinematic game as opposed to a game that used fucking FMV, which came later. So,
yeah.
But yeah, really ahead of its time. I didn't realize this, but apparently if you don't keep dying throughout Another World, because the whole point about Another World was like every sort of scene in the game, if you like, every gameplay scenario, you basically had to die constantly to figure out how to get through it. So it was one of those games where, like, you didn't die because you were shit at it. Death was part of the experience.
Yeah.
Right, so if I do that, then he's going to die. If I do this, he'll die. So what if I do this? It was all trial and error.
Yeah.
I read that if you actually manage to play through the game without dying, it's only about 40 minutes long.
Oh, right.
So, like, I remember being stuck in that game for fucking weeks. I don't think I ever completed it when I was
never
a kid.
Completed it.
I think I had to get my dad
Definitely
to do
never
it.
Completed it.
I
think I was always like, fuck this, I'm putting Flashback.
I think my dad watched me playing it for weeks on end and eventually just went, oh, fucking give it you now.
silly
little bastard.
Have you enjoyed what you played of From Dust?
Mm, I think it's a really nice idea and a really gorgeous looking game. Pretty much most of the reviews have said this, but the execution just leaves a lot to be desired, because a lot of the gameplay relies on the AI pathfinding, because what you're doing is you've got like this very primitive tribe of humans that react to what you do, and you help them in the game world by manipulating the landscape and allowing them to get to places. And a lot of your success depends on the pathfinding, which is terrible. It's awful.
Oh, I see.
And there's been loads of moments where I've failed in my task, not because of anything I've done, because the fucking, you know, the little guy I'm waiting on drowns himself on the way, or you know, just takes ages, or it's a nightmare. You find yourself obsessing over something that shouldn't be such a focus of the gameplay.
Yeah.
There was an interview with Eric Chahi about how after making Another World, or in between making Another World and making this, he spent a lot of time studying geology and firing about on tops of volcanoes. And there's a lot of like volcano porn in this game. You can tell there's a lot of fucking seismic activity. Why does that sound so dirty when I say it?
Seismic activity, that could be the name of a porn film about fat people.
Big dicks and big chicks.
Seismic activity.
Oh my god. But what? Why would you go there?
Why would I go there? You've gone far worse. Anyway.
So quite enjoying From Dust in terms of how it looks and how it feels and the game world and everything, but the actual gameplay is so marred by this this problem.
Well, that's a shame.
I think it could do with a patch or two, to be honest, to fix that.
Aye.
It's a bit of an exercise in frustration, but apart from that, I've been playing Puzzle Quest 2, which has been out for a while. The PSP version never happened, and I wasn't going to get it on the Xbox, because fucking it, I'm not going to play Puzzle Quest on my telly. You know what I mean? I don't know, this might seem really, really daft to some people, but Puzzle Quest to me is a mobile game. Mm-hmm. Or a handheld game.
Yeah,
I'm going to play Puzzle Quest on the bus, and when I'm at home, I'm going to play fucking Tomb Raider or something. I'm not going to play...
It could be one of those games that you would dip into, but if you're going to dip into it, you may as well dip into it.
Exactly. So, got the new iPhone recently, so it actually works on that now. So, yeah, I've really been enjoying that. It's basically Puzzle Quest 1, but the map zoomed in. It feels a bit more like an RPG. Like, if you go to a town in Puzzle Quest 1, it was like a menu or a cutscene, effectively. Mm-hmm. But in this, like, you go to a location, you're quite close up to your character, and it feels, you're at your sort of Baldur's Gate type distance.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Nowhere near that sort of that involved, but I don't know, just that difference feels like it's got a bit more depth. You feel like you're actually exploring a game world as well as, like, the first game. The fact that it had a storyline and it was an RPG just felt like, yeah, this is fine, guys, but it is just an excuse to have lots of gem.
But
this actually feels a bit more like a world that you're visiting. So
cool.
I'm quite enjoying that.
I guess the other thing that we both tried at the Portal 2 co-op recently, didn't we?
Oh yeah, yeah.
These next tests require cooperation. Consequently, they have never been solved by a human. That's where you come in. You don't know pride. You don't know fear. You don't know anything. You'll be perfect.
Yeah, we sat for a few hours playing it, but it's amazing how well the format lends itself to co-op.
It's amazing. It's like, I mean, when I was playing the first Portal game, at no point did I ever think that this would work with two people.
Yeah.
They've pulled it off so well, and it's such a brilliant idea to have a parallel two-player campaign.
Yeah.
You feel like you've got two games for your money, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It gives an excuse to use the Steam overlay.
Because so often you get a co-op mode in a game, and it's just like the single player with twice the enemies and double the pickups.
And then you're like, I didn't want to play it with a second person because it kind of feels like I'm cheating. Or you don't feel like you'd be getting
it. Or they'll find out how shite you are. So every time I played Left 4 Dead with Crystal, it just reminded me how shit I was compared to them.
You must have fucking loved it when I played then.
Especially when you hid in the cupboard and stuff.
I've gained a reputation for hiding in the cupboard, but it was your idea.
Yeah, you only did it because I told you to.
I think it was only funny because I was like, right, I'm going to hide in the cupboard from the tank. And then the tank got into the cupboard with me. And you guys must have all just been standing outside the cupboard and hear me going, ah! Fuck, how did I get it?
Do you remember when you died by jumping off a wall that was a bit too high?
You and whoever else we were playing with was like kicking about, and I jumped off and I didn't say anything. But Crystal had seen me from like the other side of the map or something. She was just like, Richie, what the... I fucking saw that. What were you doing? I didn't know high jumps could kill me.
Leave me alone. I thought you were the first one of our group to get blatted off the top of the hospital as well by the tank. And you're just like, where's Richie? I'm falling to my death.
I really was like the runty Scottish comic relief in the group, wasn't I?
I think you were like, do you have to go back up the building? And it's like, no, you just respawn. All right, okay. Because your character would survive that fall, you know? Scottish comic relief, you're like, we're doomed.
Yeah, but I guess my finest moment is probably getting locked in a cupboard with a tank.
It was like we were all at a teenage party and you'd gone into the cupboard with a tank to get a snog. Except it was just brutally savaging you. You're getting beasted by it.
Jesus, that's a horrible image.
Is it?
Anyway.
She's a topic.
Project Natal's a pervert simulator.
She's a topic. See them folk who make the violent games? I think they're terrorists. She's a topic.
I don't know, mate. I only play FIFA.
She's a topic.
I'm sure we'll be shagging robots by 2050.
She's a topic.
I personally think theft should be legalised.
She's a topic.
This is an independent chocolatier's, mate, with any detopics.
She's a topic.
He's a topic.
All right, what's that one?
He's a fucking topic, yuck.
He's a topic.
Cock. Got quite a few topics, actually. So, Gamescom is on just now.
Well, wait. That's not the first... Oh, it is the first thing on the agenda.
It is, you fucking fanny.
I'm sorry.
Right, let's start again.
All right.
Do you want to introduce this, actually?
Gamescom.
Is that how you're introducing the topic? You're just going to say it say three times.
Gamescom.
Like it's Candyman. Fucking. So, if we click our heels together, we'll be transported to Cologne.
That would be a terrible fate. Because how would we get back?
The way you're actually thinking about that logically, you'd be like, I can't afford the flights, bro.
I'd have to get a hotel, man.
I'd have to hitchhike to Cali.
Aye, so I'm first sure topic
the
on
Perrin's
our...
theirs, you know, he'll help us out, won't he?
No, he will, he'll laugh at us.
He'll laugh. Yeah,
we'd then... be at his hotel room, like begging him, like, Perrin, yeah, please, and he'll have a white dressing gown on,
cigarette in a holder.
He turns around and shuts the door, and we catch a glimpse of the five prostitutes lying in his bed.
Do you want to clarify that he doesn't use prostitutes,
no,
by
don't.
The way, for fuck's sake? I mean...
What, do we need to... All right, okay. Disclaimer, Perrin doesn't use prostitutes that we know of.
I mean, Jesus, don't add that we know of.
Well, I don't know, do you?
This is one of our fucking friends and you're... Oh,
we've said worse things.
Not
come
about
on.
Him, though.
Why? Is he a deeply powerful character?
Well, he's not. He's just not done anything to fucking deserve it.
Perrin, I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
We didn't mean to defame your character. The image was building up to it. I said he had a white dressing gown and a cigar in a hotel. Right, so Gamescom.
Anyway, yes. Also at Gamescom are Sony and Nintendo, as fucking usual. And they've both announced that a couple of their consoles are going to be redesigned and have features taken out of them. Neither one does it make much sense, but... Yeah.
The big one that I read about today was that the PS3 itself was getting a price drop.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's just the PS3 is getting a price drop to kind of sub £200.
Yeah. Maybe people will start fucking buying it.
On the run-up to the launch of the PSV, they're going to release another PSP.
Mm-hmm.
It's presumably to kind of run alongside the PSV. The weird thing about it is that they've removed the Wi-Fi feature.
Because they have said, haven't they, that they'll see the two platforms running side, but there's no plans to discontinue the PSP as of yet. And
yeah.
There are still games being made for it. But they've taken the Wi-Fi out of it.
Yeah.
Which, to me, cripples it a bit.
Yeah.
Because
one minute they're really pushing kind of digital distribution, and then surely... I mean, the only thing we've read so far is that the Wi-Fi has been taken out. Now, I can't imagine that there's going to be like an Ethernet port stuck in the side of it. And so you'd be wondering about your house like with a...
30-foot cable.
I mean, that nothing like that's been confirmed.
People
but, I mean,
who shop at Maplin would do that because, you know, you get better throughput and stuff. I know some anti-Wi-Fi people out there. Convenience? What's that got to do with computing? It is being priced at €99, which should be very cheap. But I like that you can go into the PSN store and download stuff straight to it from the store.
Yeah.
With this, you're going to basically have to use your PS3 to do the downloading, which is perfectly doable.
Oh, of course.
Or you'd be able to use your PC. It said that you'd have to use MediaGo to transfer.
See, it just seems to me that, you know, if you're going to pay £100 for a PSP, you may as well just...
Might as well get a fucking second-hand one with Wi-Fi, because it's going to be so much...
Well, how much is the pre-Go PSPs new these days?
But you get one for significantly less than a 3DS, put it that way.
I know, it's like when they released the Go and nobody really bought it, did they? And they took out a major feature in that.
Nobody bought the Go because it was ridiculously overpriced.
There was that as well, yeah.
Nobody bought it because it was less hardware for about twice the fucking money. Mm. Oh, just got no fucking interest in the PSP at all now. I'm just waiting on the PSV.
Nintendo did the same thing with the GBA, didn't they? Well, they didn't make another one and release it, but I'm sure they said when the DS was coming out that they were going to continue the Game Boy line.
And they didn't.
Because obviously everyone just stopped buying GBAs, presumably. And
I remember the last model of GBA that came out, the nice wee sort of swish silver mini one.
The tiny wee one, right?
Yeah, it was shite.
Yeah, and so speaking of streamlined hardware, there's a new Wii coming out as well.
which is only the thickness of two DVD cases as opposed to three.
Right.
Because what I'm really thinking when I'm playing my Wii is, man, I wish this was half an inch thinner, you know?
I wish I could fit this through a letterbox.
And the logo on the front has been changed 90 degrees, so it looks better horizontal.
So I would just both turn to
look
at the...
We're both looking at Richie's Wii just now. Like, oh, so it is. It is on the side right. Who gives a... Oh, Christ. Because you can have it horizontal now. And I'm like... Mine's just been horizontal since fucking 2006. What's this talking about? And then I'm like, oh, right, okay.
But, yeah.
But there's bound to be those cunts out there, aren't there? I'd be like, no, I can't have a horizontal because the fucking label.
the same
people who paid like an extra 50 quid for a black one.
Yeah. They've removed... They've removed the GameCube features.
Yeah, they removed the ability to play GameCube games.
But also,
my library by three.
GameCube peripherals as well, mm-hmm. which means you can't use the GameCube controller, mm-hmm. which means if you want to use a proper control pad, you got to use the...
Classic controller.
Which is shite.
But which is perfectly viable now that you don't have GameCube games to play on it.
No, but there's a few... There's quite a few... quite a few of my Wii games can
Smash
use
Brothers.
Those. Smash Brothers. GoldenEye, shit. I know there's more, like, ah, oh, bollocks. I really don't like the classic controller.
But a downloadable version of Ocarina of Time, use it. I guess
that's besides the point. I mean, I'm saying all this and it doesn't actually make the slightest bit of difference to me.
Well,
I think the point is it's obviously, they're trying to release like this little bundle that people can buy for Christmas and give to, like, whoever wants one. In terms of the gamers, I have to ask, though,
who in this day and age doesn't have a Wii? Everyone who wants a Wii has one by now, surely. Right. I mean, surely it gets to the point where, you know, you're like Alexander at the end of the world and Iwata is sitting on the top of the mountain somewhere fucking weeping, looking to the horizon because there's no other cunt to sell it to.
I guess it's just the one last push before the Wii U comes out.
Push it is right. Squeezing a fucking shite. Honestly, I'm really excited about the Wii U. Don't get me wrong, I am genuinely excited about that and the PSV as it goes. But nah, no, impressed with this, guys. this is purely for the fannies.
But
this is totally. I'm sure every games company at the end of a console life cycle just goes, right, we have to get the fannies on board. Try anything.
There's not too many things coming out for the Wii, but I guess there's, in terms of like proper games, there's Kirby and then there's Xenoblade and Zelda. In the next
Xenoblade Chronicles has been getting some good reviews. Actually,
yeah.
I remember that being unveiled. Was it E3 2007 or 2008?
Yeah, I didn't realize that wasn't getting a US. release.
Yeah. Apparently, the localization's all sort of Cockney.
Yeah, I did notice that. I also read, thankfully, that it's got Japanese with English subs because I did witness some of the English acting and thought, oh my god. But
shine your shoes.
Yeah, totally. It's not English, proper English actors, it's how the rest of the world sees English people. But
you seen that Mary Poppins, I'd give her one.
I don't know where the
so-called English accents sound sort of halfway Australian. Tie your fucking kangaroo down your dick.
So anything else going on at QuakeCon?
What QuakeCon, you fanny?
I just read QuakeCon on the sheet of paper there. There's loads of games.
Oh, fucking Steel Battalion Heavy Armor or whatever it's called. Steel Armor Heavy Battalion or whatever.
I hated Steel Battalion. Like,
Fuck me. That sequel to the Xbox game that people bought purely because of the massive, ridiculous 100 quid controller. Like, one significant feature of the game was that in order to even play it, you had to learn a very complicated machine startup sequence for your mech.
Yeah, I remember, like, my old flatmate used to have it. He was very excited about it when he got it. And I used to get up, like, so many mornings I'd get up and he'd be sitting, like, he'd move the sofa, like, to be in front of the TV and he'd be sitting in his pants, like, with these two joysticks, just like, yes! Mm-hmm. And I was like, right, give us a shot. And I jumped on. I was like, this is really exciting because there's fucking loads of buttons. I just love loads of buttons that all light up. And then I realized that I was just, I didn't like it. And it was just also the fact that the mech seemed to move at, like, 3 miles an hour. It was so slow.
Yeah.
The permadeath thing did amuse me, though.
I read on Eurogamer today, but yeah, the permadeath thing where if ship was about to blow up and you failed to hit the eject button, it would wipe your save.
Save game, yeah.
Which could only have been dreamt up in the sadistic mind of a Capcom game designer, surely. Apparently, the original design for the controller with the eject button was going to be in a glass panel that you'd have to smash. Apparently, some sensible bastard at Capcom was like, we can't do this.
You can only smash it once.
Exactly. Well. Exactly. Just before that one moment, people would be like deliberately like getting into situations where they were about to die just so they could have that moment where they'd smash it with the fucking the heel of their palm.
The UN forces and those powers that have manipulated them into their occupation of the USA will learn a hard lesson today.
Stay strong for me.
They will learn that America does not belong to them, and it never will.
Turn that desk jockey off. We've got a job to do.
Saw the trailer and it was sort of really melodramatic. And
basically, they've replaced the massive, ridiculous controller with Kinect functionality. Yeah. So you're going to have, like, it's going to use the controller in the traditional way, you know. You're going to be using the triggers and the sticks the way you'd expect it. And you'll be, like, flicking switches with Kinect.
Right.
Which, to me, suggests a very cumbersome video game that's going to be a fucking pain in the arse to play and isn't going to be very fun.
Yeah.
How ridiculous was the trailer as well? It was so cringy. It was like, it was worse than Matrix Revelations.
I know, I was wondering where they were going with the, because there was an aspect to the trailer that seemed to suggest that it was some element of the game was like a personal struggle.
Yeah.
For the character.
It's like, every soldier fights two wars.
Yeah, yeah.
The war on the outside and the war on the inside.
That was it, yeah.
You thought about that, didn't you? Give that boy a fucking BAFTA.
But another kind of stuff that we've seen, like, we saw a trailer for Wipeout 2048, which looked
We talked about that last time, but because they talked about a lot of E3, but yeah, that does look really, really cool.
I think one of the things that struck me about the new Wipeout was the slightly more... Like, because it's meant to be only, like, 38 years in the future, the design styles...
It's like a hybrid between present day and Wipeout that we're used to.
Yeah, it's slightly
really cool.
More grounded.
Really,
and
I suppose one thing you don't do when you're playing Wipeout is admire the scenery. That's probably why they put the photo mode in Wipeout HD, I'd imagine. Because the level design... Because obviously you have to... They have to design it to look good.
Yeah.
But... Because otherwise it would look off or wrong. But these things are flying past your face at a ridiculously high frame rate. If you spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, days, weeks of your life working in Liverpool studio designing a Wipeout cityscape, you'd be a bit fucked off, wouldn't you? Because you'd be putting all this work in and you'd be like, fucking, but Nacon's going to see it. Then you'd be like, oh, do you know what? I've made an arse of this window, but I'm just going to leave it because Nacon will know. Because that's how game development works, right? I can just imagine Dean Smith being like, you got the fucking Windows done, Sean? No.
God, imagine your first job in game developing and you're just like, yes, this is it.
And you go in there.
I'm here, this is my dream, this is what I wanted
right,
to do.
You have to model all the Windows.
You're doing the Windows.
You're doing the Windows.
You're the windy boy.
And you're like, oh, what? Like, as if that would be the worst possible job in game design. That's the bottom rung. You'd be like...
Crews of like... Obviously, these teams of like thousands of people. One's doing the bricks. One's doing like blades of grass.
This is how it works in our head. One of these days, you'll be doing knives. If you play your cards right.
The guy at the top doing the boob jiggles.
Aye, totally. Like you know, when they were making Wheelman, there was one jammy bastard got to model Vin Diesel's head.
Yeah. Well, it was two. There was a guy that did his head and another guy that did the shine.
That would like require a two-man team.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we just clarify, we do know we're talking shite here. We don't want emails of people going, well, actually, what? You don't understand. We don't know anything about game development, but we know we don't know anything about it. So, you know, don't be annoyed.
We know that game developers are mostly lazy as well. That's a joke about...
That's a joke.
That's just talked about Gamescom. Let's talk about...
You're in a right fucking mood to piss off all our mates, aren't you?
They love it.
Right.
Aye, so the next thing on
talking
the agenda...
Talking to lazy developers, let's talk about Skyrim, because according to some bits of the internet, Bethesda, who cram about 300 to 400 hours of fucking content into every game, but still charge the same as every other video game, somehow they're lazy.
Recently there was There was QuakeCon.
And Todd Howard of Bethesda did a 30-minute demo of Skyrim on the stage.
It was about 40-odd, wasn't it?
I think 10 minutes of it was him introducing it, though. It was like 10 minutes of menu screen.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough.
Fucking lovely menu screen.
And then he announced the special edition.
It's going to have a cloth map and... it'd be great if you buy it. And don't pirate it, because I know you're a PC audience. That's what you should have said.
Yeah. Basically, he did ask that nobody film it, but somebody filmed it.
Oh, but 6 or 7 people filmed it. And you forwarded me a link to the thing, and I've already watched
seen
the version
from a different angle.
From a different angle that has been up and been taken.
The thing
down,
that got me, the thing that got me about the one I was watching is it was clearly like filmed on a tripod.
Yeah. Yeah, because he says at the start, he's like, please don't film this, guys. Todd Howard sounds like Eddie Murphy's impersonation of a white man. So does John Carmack, actually. Fucking, I do love the guys, actually. Particularly Todd Howard, I think, because he's chief designer of Morrowind and Oblivion. The guy's incredible. But the game developers we know, one of them's like a gruff bloke from Dundee. And the other one's a dandy.
So we're talking about Skyrim. So the first thing he came out with is that there was running on the Xbox. One of the first features that he was talking about was the fact that the first kind of few things that you do in the game define your character rather than you sitting choosing all your things. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. The character development is going to be a lot more hands-on than menu-driven, because they've also been talking about how, you know, you don't pick a character class. It's just skills that you train, and you can train anything you want.
Yeah.
You can specialize if you want to, or you can be a jack of all trades. But, Oblivion was kind of set up like that as well, but you still had classes, so you got more advantage if you trained up your chosen skills effectively. Mm-hmm. All classes really did in Oblivion was sort of pick a set of skills to favor, and if you leveled up those skills, you got more benefits from it. You leveled up quicker and blah 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 blah. It's just getting really nerdy, obviously, but but in Skyrim, that's all been scrapped for a more open sort of character development system. And the thing about the Elder Scrolls is that it's never been a case like, you know, you kill stuff and get experience points, and then once you get enough, you level up, and then you choose, you level up by leveling your skills. When you level up, you pick a perk, I think, is the way it's going to work in Skyrim. So it's going to be a bit similar to Fallout 3 in that way.
Yeah.
They've made tweaks to the leveling system to make it, I think, a bit more accessible. They've removed barriers, you know.
Right, okay.
Like, redesigned the actual UI of the game as well to be a bit more slick. And Oblivion and Morrowind were both criticized for being too cluttered and too unwieldy. The visuals look a lot nicer than their previous games, because they've actually said they've hired, you know, more animators. They've redesigned their engine from the ground up, and it's looking astonishing. All the material they've released is running on Xbox 360 hardware. It looks incredible. I mean,
it does.
If you compare Skyrim screenshots to Oblivion, it's like it's on a new console. It's fucking unbelievable.
It is one of those things where, you know, you're looking at it and you just think, how's the Xbox still doing this at this stage?
It's at the end of this generation, when it comes to a close, Oblivion and Skyrim are just going to be the bookends, because Oblivion was almost a launch title, I think. You could be able to look at them and say, well, that's how far things went. I'm just so excited for it, because it kind of feels like, I mean, obviously it's hard to tell until it comes out, but I really do think we're all going to play it and think, fuck, they've outdone themselves.
The presentation did show a lot of exciting stuff. The funniest thing about the presentation was just the audience. One, I love how excited like gamers get sometimes.
And you pointed this out to me earlier that it was great, like every time he came across an animal in the wilderness, they were like, kill it!
Kill it!
And then he went to a town and started talking to NPCs to demo the conversation system, and they were like, kill him! It's like, I'm not going to kill the townsfolk, guys.
It's when he goes, the first thing that happened was when he walked past some water.
Yeah.
Jump in the water! Jump in! And it went on for ages. But it made it quite funny to watch.
It's amazing how gamers focus on certain things. Like, remember when Uncharted came out and people were all just like, oh, the water's incredible. The water's fucking him. He comes out of the water and he looks wet. That's incredible, man. And everybody was like, oh, I may fucking get that. I remember when Little Big Planet, when that DLC pack came out that added water to the game. And everyone was like, it's got water. I might pick that up and it's got water, you know. I remember talking to someone about Morrowind and work. And they were like, oh, didn't you really like Morrowind? I couldn't get in yet. I was like, oh, fair enough, you know. the fuck do you want me to do about it, you're fanny? And he was like, the water looked good though. Water, melons, you know, watermelons. How do you jump is another one. What's the jumping like? What button is it to jump?
Yeah, the...
How come you can't jump in Mass Effect?
Yeah, the other big thing in Skyrim is obviously the dragons.
Yeah.
There was a dragon fight.
You're a human character, but you're the Dovahkiin. You're the dragonborn. So you're basically the only guy in the whole world who can kick fuck out of a dragon. Dragons are going to be the equivalent of Oblivion Gates. They can spawn anywhere and they're almost random. And
is it true that they've got... Sean Connery voicing the dragon?
Yes.
I am the last dragon.
I'm going to squash you, you little shit.
Dragon's voice.
I'm going to teach you self-reliance.
I'm trying to think of other famous dragon voices, but I can't think of any.
John Hurt in Merlin. what was I talking about?
Dragons.
You're a fanny. Aye, the dragons are going to be able to pop up anywhere, even in towns.
Right.
And start, you know, burning the town to the ground and stuff, which might be a bit of a pain in the arse if you just turn up in a city to buy some new armor or something. You're just like, oh, for fuck's sake. You just be like, right, here we go. Get your sword. Basically, the dragons are effectively sort of, you know, mid-level bosses. A lot of them will be just sort of procedurally generated dragons, but there'll also be proper named story-specific dragons as well.
Right.
Because the whole thing is about, you know, in the Elder Scrolls universe, you know, the time of Oblivion and Morrowind, dragons have been long gone, and this is them coming back. It's set sort of, 200 years after Oblivion, and there's lots of references to Oblivion in the trailers and stuff. It's all very cool, and you know, I think it's great that they've set it so far apart, because you know, you haven't really played much Elder Scrolls, but if you get Skyrim, you're not going to be missing anything crucial. It's all going to be very, you know, to you, you're just going to have lots of exposition. It'll have deeper resonance for someone who's played the previous games, but you're not at a disadvantage.
So,
you know, that's a pretty good move on their part, I think. But, you know, I think we've talked about Skyrim enough. I could talk about it for days, man.
I know. We should do a Skyrim podcast.
Yeah.
Rimwank. No, that's not right.
We want to do a bit of plug-in for a mate of ours who's...
doing like a charity thing.
He's doing a charity marathon, but not one you do on legs. He's doing a 24-hour gaming marathon. He's going to be fucking knackered by the end of this, isn't he?
Aye.
I was thinking, is this healthy? It's for a sick kids charity. A lot of people are doing it. It's called the Sick Kids Save Point in Edinburgh.
Santa. Oh, Santa. You can't. There's got to be another way.
I'm afraid no, hen. There's only one way I can help these kids.
But Santa, maybe try something else. You can.
I'm sorry, hen. There's nothing else I can do.
Huh?
I've got to play Minecraft.
Santa! Daddy! Daddy, do this to me, you wanker!
Hello, fellow game wankers. My name's Xander, or XanderMac05 as you probably don't know me, and in October I'll be doing a 24-hour gaming marathon for the Sick Kids Friends Foundation. The money raised for the event goes towards the Royal Hospital for Sick Kids in Edinburgh, which as far as I'm concerned is a bloody fantastic cause, but I'm probably a wee bit biased. If you'd like to sponsor me, you can do so online at justgiving.com/XanderMac05, and by the way, it's Xander with an X rather than a Z. You can also, if you're in the UK, text in XMAC55, followed by your donation amount in pounds, to 70070. By the way, if you donate before the end of this week, you'll also be entered to win a PC copy of Limbo, thanks to the developer Playdead. If you'd like to follow my progress, you can do so over at bit.ly/XM4SK. On that site, you can read my games list, which is constantly changing, and hopefully you'll also be able to watch me stream the whole event live. You can follow me on Twitter at XM_V, and I'm on Facebook at Xander for Sick Kids Save Point 2011. Finally, if you'd like to take part yourself, you can do so at sickkidssafepoint.org. Thanks very much.
Right, so basically what's happening is if Xander sits on his arse for 24 hours, he's going to be not well, so you need to go and sponsor him to play Zumba Fitness.
We should maybe suggest him and just say, do you know what, maybe like stick some Wii Fit in there? Like, you know, just...
Wii Fit would be shite, it's just standing in that, eh? Anyway, yes. But Xander's a particular friend of the podcast, so we thought we'd plug his one particularly, since he's
a lovely wee guy as well.
He's a lovely wee chap, aye.
He wears a fedora.
You could introduce him to your mum and that.
Aye. And he wouldn't try and pump her.
I wouldn't introduce you to my ma.
I've met your ma.
I know.
Your ma thinks I'm nice. I don't know what your ma thinks of me, actually. If she sees me coming towards the house, she's probably like, oh, fuck, it's him again. Why do you hang about with that fat guy? Makes you look stupid. Right, so it's a 24-hour gaming marathon to raise money for the Sick Kids Friends Foundation. The funds will go to the Sick Kids Hospital in Edinburgh.
Oh, shit.
Sorry,
my pen's leaking.
Oh, right in the middle of the charity thing.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Xander. My fingers are covered in ink.
I can imagine Xander listening to this and like chucking his iPod across the room and being like, that asshole!
No, he's nice. He's a nice lad. He wouldn't do that.
That prick!
He'd take off his hat and stamp on it.
Also, one thing I wanted to mention is that a new-ish podcast has started called Gamebit, which is run by two people we know from Twitter called Love Decake and The Matless. I believe The Matless uses his mouse on a hard surface and that. He's pretty hardcore about not having mats about. And
When he does gym at school, does he like just stay it on the floor and no, he doesn't use any mat?
Totally. He's like, you get that fucking mat away from me.
Right.
If I break my back, so be it. Like you go into his car and that, and it's just the bare metal chassis with loads of crisps and stuff in it. You know, and he's like, "No fucking mats, mate.
No mats here.
No mats."
He's banned all people called Matthew from his house.
No mats.
But anyway, sorry, that went too far.
And Love the Cake actually fucking hates cake. It's irony. So you know,
who would hate cake?
You,
you
miserable bastard!
Denny, look at this belly.
I think Xander would hate cake if it wasn't VSync enabled. Gamebit,
game-bit.net,
and they're a new game website / podcast, and they're doing pretty well. So give them a go.
Give them a wee listen.
Just you find them on Twitter. Denny fucking mentioned Matt.
Feed my buck.
There's the last couple of bits that we've got to get through. There's a couple of things we've got to mention. Firstly, a bit of housekeeping. We're going to be probably going to be dicking about with a podcast feed pretty soon because we're sort of outgrowing the bandwidth allowance we've got on the current host, and we have got unlimited bandwidth elsewhere, but it's migrating the podcast feed is going to be a bit of a pain in the arse because the current one is very sort of very hands-off and everything is behind a sort of control panel. So it's very difficult to, you know, edit the feed properly and stuff and do the things you need to do to migrate a podcast without any hiccups. So it might be a case that we're going to have to basically set up a new feed and beg people to resubscribe to the new one. So
yeah.
I can't imagine it's going to be a huge issue, but that might be happening pretty soon. I'm sure people are thinking, you didn't fucking post anything anyway. We're not going to notice.
Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do another episode next month after the Eurogamer.
For Eurogamer, yeah. We might actually be recording down there as well, which we can do now. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I don't know how to mention this. I don't know how to talk about it.
Let's just mention it. Like in the last episode, we asked you to nominate us, send an email and nominate us for for a games.
We asked. We said we didn't beg, as someone's Twitter suggested.
Yes,
And
you did. You all went and
you guys sent in nominations, and we fucking got shortlisted.
Yeah, we're on the shortlist of the best. God knows how
guest
we're on
podcast
best podcast
/broadcast.
Yeah, obviously video game based.
We're up against the likes of One Life Left and sent you a message that you know people watch on the Xbox Live on the Xbox dashboard. So, no pressure. So you know, fucking hell, there's an award ceremony and
yeah. So basically, you've got us, because I don't think we're going to win, but you got us like some free food.
And there's going to be a free bar as well. So,
Well, yeah, so you've got us that, and we're very grateful.
You You make it sound so. Yeah, I mean,
we genuinely are like really.
I put a post up about this on the website, thanking everybody for taking the time to do it. And seriously, we have no idea how the fuck y'all managed it, but you managed it, and now we're fucking terrified.
I know it was more on a button push as well. You guys sent emails.
Yeah, no, it was. It wasn't like you went to. It wasn't like you went to a website and hit a checkbox. It was like some. You know, you had to take the time to like write an email, and you know, I can't. It fucking boggles my mind that this happened. It really does.
I know.
This. I think we were both quite shocked and quite. We felt rather loved that day, didn't we?
Shocked and stunned. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. It was really fantastic. So thanks to everyone who did.
Thank you, everyone. So yeah, we're not gonna talk about it too much, but
we don't want to labor the point.
I mean, we're not that dignified a podcast as it is, but. Yeah.
But anyway, and lastly. Because so many people enjoyed Shin Megami Tensei Fitbar in the last episode. Us taking the piss out of Richie's brother, who I believe apparently, when he listened to that bit of the podcast, every time one of us said, like, you know, what about Zelda Fitbar, apparently he actually said out loud, "I'm in." And then you're like, Shin Megami Tensei Football, and he was reported to have said, "I totally, man," after every single suggestion. And he thought we were actually talking to him, and somebody had to explain to him that we weren't in the room.
That's a total lie. He didn't even listen.
And then they took him to his bed, and he'd done it. It was terrible. He'd done a wee poo.
He actually asked me if you could come on the podcast and review FIFA 12.
And we were like, fuck off.
But
so look for that review later. Are you drawing smegma on that penis?
No, it's just a bit of wrinkling around the.
Oh right, okay, that's good. Oh, Jesus,
you're drawing smegma. What the fuck's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? You fucking that bead of semen that's fucking horrible. You've not shaded the balls enough, though.
And I'm working on it.
All right, okay. All right, you carry on doing that, and I'll talk about the competition. Right. People who've listened to the show for a long time might remember that ages ago we did an art competition, which resulted in a sort of...
amazing sort of amount of horrific imagery.
Yeah, you know, people. We basically gave people two images of us and said, you know, knock yourself out. Just, can you please manipulate these in Microsoft Paint? No Photoshop. Just, you know, we want the shannest sort of most horrific image mashups done in Microsoft Paint that you can possibly come up with. And we had some cracking submissions.
Oh, totally.
But we never envisioned people, you know, putting an arsehole into your chest, for example.
That was twisted. That was absolutely horrible.
I think that was Simon that did that, you dirty little bastard. So we've thought of doing something similar, but basically this is, the competition's called Photoshop Football.
Photoshop Football, imagine football.
So what we're saying is, you know how we listed all these sort of game genres or game series with football on it, you know, and what we're thinking is, well, if you guys want to come up on your own, ones of your own, or even ones that we've done, and just illustrate them some way, like we're thinking like fake game boxes or fake screenshots or that kind of thing, where people basically imagine Halo Football and do a proper Xbox game box for it and submit that. All right,
or PS3, sort of like, if you're that way inclined.
Yeah, totally. I mean, well, Halo's not in a PS3, a fan.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general, I'm not saying it has to be Halo.
Are you worried
about incurring copyright?
So basically, just come up with anything, you know, you can think of it's fucking, you know, Duke Nukem Fitball or whatever, just...
Tetris
just
Fitball.
Just come up with that and some sort of visual image, like a screenshot or a box art that illustrates that. It's something, go wild, go nuts, come up with the same sort of horrific stuff we saw last time, and it'll be golden. And we'll
make a video.
Yeah, we'll do a bit of video content. We'll fucking have to, because it'll be difficult to do it in audio.
I know.
We discovered this the hard way last time.
Yeah.
You think that
we
would
sat
have,
and tried to describe the
you think that
horror.
Would have occurred to us, wouldn't you? But the winner will be judged by us.
We'll judge your character.
We're gonna be making presumptions about the kind of individual you are, but I love the leg you're adding in the background. It's beautiful. And the winner will get a £10 Amazon voucher. And really? Yeah. And I tell you what, the winner will get a £10 Amazon voucher and the signed piece of artwork that Richie is just putting the finishing touches
on. I was going to hang something on my wall.
How about that? I think that'd be really nice. What do you think?
Well, why don't we just take them out to dinner? Take them to...
What if they live in fucking...
Well, then get the train up.
What if they live in fucking France or something?
Well, then get the train over.
What if they live in Australia?
Look, it's not our problem, is it, if they can't collect the prize?
You're not going to draw someone's suiting on it, are you?
No.
What's that then?
It's a microphone.
I thought that was another Bobby about to bash into you.
Collision of Bobbies.
So you'll get this wonderful signed drawing of a penis. Oh my god. And what?
Signed phallic artwork from Richard Morgan circa 2011. Start the bidding at 10,000.
This would have made the last episode of Only Fools and Horses a lot different, wouldn't it?
I know. Rodney, I found this drawing of a cock.
Found this drawing of a cock spanking into a microphone. What does it mean? The artist was deeply mentally disturbed.
Yeah.
So that's the end. I'm not looking forward to fucking editing this, you know that. So remember, Photoshop FitBa competition, send them all in. You can email them to feedback@gamewank.com or you can tweet them to us. I'm @gamewank_Jim and he's @Laszlo_Panaflex. Our Twitter feeds are on the website. Or you can come onto our Facebook page and put them up there. Any way you want to get them to us, please do. And you might get a tenner and a lovely picture of a cock in biro. Playing us out this time, we are going to start having a regular songsmith in the form of Danny Echoes, but he's in Spain just now.
Playing us out this month, it's Mentasm with some dubstep.
Here's Menti.
As promised, this is Mentasm with Harbinger, and you can find more of his stuff on www.soundcloud.com/resettheatari, all one word.
Thank you.